July 12, 1904. The Need of True Reformers. Ellen G. White. The servants of God today encounter difficulties very similar to those against which Nehemiah contended. Human nature is still the same, and Satan is as active, earnest, and persevering now as at any period in the past. Nay, rather, the Word of God declares that his power and enmity increase as we near the close of time. The greatest danger of God's ancient people arose from their inclination to disregard his direct requirements and to follow, instead, their own desires. Such is the sin and danger of his people at the present time. The indolence, backsliding, and degeneracy in our churches may be traced, in a great degree, to the lax sentiments which have been coming in as a result of conformity to the world. The Sabbath is not as sacredly regarded as it should be. Improper marriages, with their train of evils, have dragged down some of the useful men to apostasy and ruin. Before contracting marriage, every wise person will consider the matter in all its bearings. Will the relation I am about to form lead heavenward or toward perdition? Will it bring in sacred and devotional influences, or the corrupting influence of the world? In the existing state of religious declension, there is crying need of earnest, faithful Nehemiahs and Ezras, men who will not shun to call sin by its right name, and who will not shrink from vindicating the honor of God. Those upon whom God has laid the burden of his work are not to hold their peace and cover prevailing evils with a cloak of false charity. Men of courage and energy are needed to expose fashionable sins. Iniquity must not be palliated and excused. Those who lead the church to follow the customs and practices of the world are not to be lauded and exalted. No regard for family or position will hinder the faithful servants of Christ from guarding the interests of his people. God is no respecter of persons. Great light and special privileges bring increased responsibility. When those who have been favored or honored of God commit sin, their influence goes very far to encourage others in transgression. And if, by their example, the faith of another is weakened and moral and religious principle is broken down, the wrath of God will surely come upon those betrayers of their sacred trust. Severity to a few will often prove mercy to many. Yet we must be careful to manifest the Spirit of Christ and not our own hasty, impetuous disposition. We must rebuke sin because we love God and love the souls for whom Christ died. Ezra and Nehemiah repeatedly humbled themselves before God, confessing the sins of their people and entreating pardon as if they themselves were the offenders. Patiently, they toiled and prayed and suffered because of the disaffection of those who should have joined with them, but whose sympathies were more frequently with their adversaries. That which rendered their work most difficult and trying was not the open hostility of the heathen without, but the secret opposition of traitors in the camp, and even among the priests and rulers. By lending their talents and influence to the service of evil workers, these men of divided hearts increased tenfold the burden of God's faithful servants. They furnished the Lord's enemies with material to use in their warfare upon his people. Evil passions and rebellious wills were ever at war with the plain and direct requirements of God. The spirit of true reform will be met in our day as in ancient times. Those who are zealous for the honor of God and who will not countenance sin either in ministers or people, need not expect rest or pleasure in this life. Untiring vigilance must be the watchword of all who guard the interests of Christ's church. During Nehemiah's absence from Jerusalem, evils were introduced which threatened to pervert the nation. The same dangers exist in our time. If those who have the oversight of the church leave their charge, unconsecrated ones, claiming to believe the truth but having no connection with God, will take advantage of their absence to do much harm. The restraint being removed from these self-seeking and turbulent spirits, their peculiar traits of character are made prominent, and by their hints, insinuations, and deceptive charges, they create doubt, unbelief, and dissension among the Lord's people. Such forget that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. They judge of the character and motives of God's servants according to their own ignorance of truth and the ways of righteousness. Their example, words, and influence weaken the force of God's requirements and divide and scatter the Church of Christ. The Word of God abounds in sharp and striking contrasts. Sin and holiness are placed side by side, that, beholding, we may hate and shun the one, and love and embrace the other. The pages that describe the hatred, falsehood, and treachery of a Sanballat or a Tobiah describe also the nobility, devotion, and self-sacrifice of a Nehemiah or an Ezra. We are left free to copy either as we choose. The fearful results of transgressing God's commandments are placed over against the blessings resulting from obedience thereto. We ourselves are to decide whether we will suffer the one or enjoy the other. The law of God remains unchanged. Like Himself, it is pure, perfect, and eternal. It is not enough to profess to be keepers of the law. The question is, are we carrying out its principles in our daily life? Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Saith the voice of wisdom, "Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Mrs. E. G. White.